Those who are called by God will be separate. They'll be separate in righteousness, and they'll be separate in giftings. They'll also be separate in the intangibles. Amen. Sound judgment, the ability to lead, firmness but gentleness, courageous but affectionate, endurance, perseverance. Somebody say intangibles. That's what we covered last time. And so this morning, amen, we're going to keep on driving the bus, amen, and we're going to get to this next stop right here, the work. And while we were talking about, amen, separate, and we was talking about, amen, in righteousness and in intangibles and in giftings, we was kind of using that so that you can identify the calling. So you can ask the question, am I called? You know, is this one called? Is my loved one called? Because as you see the separation, you'll be able to know who's really called and who's not. Got a lot of people think they called, but they're not separate. All right? They're not separate. All right? And so as we look at this next one, the work, is going to be another way you can identify, am I called? Am I called? Look at verse 2 with me of Acts 13. The Bible says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Amen. Somebody say the work. Right. The word work here means business. It means enterprise. It means an undertaking. And what we have here in the scripture, amen, we have here God saying that he has work to do. Amen. He says, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work. Huh? God is saying, I got work to do. Amen. I got work to do. God has business that he wants to, hallelujah, transact on earth. He has an enterprise that he's running under heaven. Woo! He has an undertaking that he has going on, amen, in the affairs of mankind. Amen. Our God is working. Anybody hear me up in here? Not only is he working, but watch this, God is hiring as well. He's working and he's looking for workmen and workwomen. Anybody hear me up in here? We all want to work for a big company, a good company. We all have in our heart, amen, oh, if I could just get on with them, if I can just get this job. I'm here to tell you that there's a company that's bigger than any other company on earth right now that you are overlooking. Oh, God. Woo! And it's the company of Alpha and Omega. Hey, God. The company of beginning and the end. It's the company of the lion and the lamb. It's the company of Yahshua, Elohim, and Yahweh. It's the firm is what I'm talking about right here. You won't work for everybody else but God. There's a work that God is doing in the earth. There's a business that he has opened. There's an enterprise that he's trying to run and accomplish. And we won't work for IBM, but won't work for G-O-D. Anybody hear me up in here? Somebody said the work. And in John 5 and 17, Jesus says, put it up in the NLT, amen. He says in John 5, 17, he says, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. You got that in the NLT, Brent? Amen. Sound boot. Hallelujah. And what it says in the NLT is, my Father is still working. My Father works always. He's working continually. And Jesus says, and I'm working too. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, my God is working. You see? You see? Yes. And Jesus says in John 4:24, watch this. Jesus says in 4:24, and I love this. Amen. Come on, Sambu, stay with me. 424, amen. Oh, goodness, that's not it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is the scripture, amen, where Jesus is dealing with the woman at the well. and he didn't eat anything. And the disciples, amen, they go about to go get some food. And he begins to discuss, amen, some theological issues with the woman from Samaria, amen. And the disciples come back, hallelujah, and they brought some food. But Jesus didn't want to eat. Anybody remember that text? Amen. And they began to look at each other and they said, did you bring him some food? Did you bring him some food? And Jesus said, nah, ain't none of y'all brought me any food. He says, my meat is to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Anybody know that text? Amen. 4:34. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And to do what? And to finish who what? His work. His work. His work. Jesus is saying, that's my meat. That's where I find satisfaction. When I do the work of the Father. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Amen. You say, Pastor, what does this have to do with the calling? You see, when you really call, you want to do the work. You want to do the work. The work, the business, the enterprise, the undertaking of the Father is what you want to do. The Bible told us last time when we was looking at the calling of the bishop and the Pauline epistles. The Bible say, if any man desire the office of the bishop. You remember when I told you about that? There has to be a desire in your heart to do the work of God. You'll know you're called because on the inside, amen, you want to do what God want to do on the earth. If you don't have that desire, then you're not called. All right? And the desire to do the work is strong. Spurgeon says, you will know you are called because you will have a burning desire for the work of the Lord. It's not just going to be a desire. It's going to be a burning desire. Charles Spurgeon says, in order for a call to be true, there must be an irresistible, watch this, overwhelming, craving desire to get to the work and to tell others about Yahshua Jesus and what God has done for you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Somebody say overwhelming. Irresistible. When you called, you can't help but do the work. It's irresistible. You can't help do what you're called to do. Anybody listening to me in here? You see? When you truly call, amen, hey God, you'll be like Jeremiah. You'll say, and his word was in me like fire shut up in my bones. And Jeremiah said, I tried to forbear. I tried not to tell people. I tried to keep my mouth closed. And it felt like I was on fire on the inside as I tried to keep my mouth closed and the fire was burning me until I opened and say what thus saith the Lord. Anybody hear me up in here? Yeah. That's why we got a lot of people saying they call and they're not really called. Because if you was really called, you would be doing the work right now. You would be doing the work in some capacity. See, some people saying, I'm called, amen, and they say, well, but when I come up and he put the oil on me, when I come up and he lay hands on me, then I'm going to get to work. No, 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 no. You've got the cart before the horse there, my friend. See, the call don't get to work after the ordination. The call get to work before the ordination. Anybody hear me up in here? What I have in my notes, they will be teaching, preaching, prophesying, leading, and witnessing somewhere, somehow. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16. I'm just trying to help you figure out if you call. Paul said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. You know what Paul said? Paul's saying, is necessity is laid upon me. Paul's saying, I can't but preach the gospel. You see, it's essential that I do it. I'm compelled to do it. When my friends and family try to stop me from doing it, I can't stop. People tell me all the time, Paul is saying, hallelujah, Paul, can you go to a city and just go on vacation? Paul said, no, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Yeah. You can't help yourself. It's woe, amen. And what he means by woe is, amen, you come undone when you're not doing the Lord's work. You feel out of place when you're not doing the Lord's work. You feel unfulfilled when you're not doing the Lord's work. You feel like a square trying to fit in a circle when you're not doing the Lord's work. Paul is saying, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's how you know when you call to the ministry. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. And you must desire this work above and over doing anything else in life. Anything else in life. Spurgeon says if anyone could be content doing anything else, then you're not called. If you would be content being a doctor, being a lawyer, selling real estate, opening a grocery store, if you got to any of those things where people covet these positions and these titles, and you get there and you make it, you get the degree, you pass the bar, you're a doctor now, you're licensed, amen, and you get there and you say, oh, I done made it, I can rest now. And you're content in life, amen. Paul said 9 times out of 10, you ain't called. You ain't called. See, when you call, you are restless until you're doing the work of the ministry. And it don't matter what type of prestigious job you have. It don't even matter how much money you're making. You have no idea how many doctors done traded in their coats just to come and preach this gospel. Are you with me here so far? And friends and family look at him and say, you're crazy. You know how long you done went to school for this? You know how many tests you done took? How many, hey God, things you done sacrificed to get to this job that everybody in the world would want? You see, but there's a difference between a job and a calling. Woo! A job is something you do. A calling is something you're born to do. Anybody hear me up in here? Oh, God have mercy. Oh, God have mercy. Yeah. It's like telling a cheetah not to run. A lion not to roar. You see? An eagle not to fly. You see? The work. You see? Now, I'm not talking about, amen, getting a side hustle when you're preaching. All right? I'm not talking about that. You see? Because even Paul was a tent maker on the side. Amen? But even in his tent making, he never stopped preaching the gospel. You with me so far? All right? You must desire the work. Spurgeon, once again, if you could be content doing any other thing, then go do it, because God has not called you. The call have to do the work of God. My notes say they would weary themselves doing anything else. They would be miserable, unsatisfied, incomplete doing anything else but the work of the Lord. You see, in Luke 2:49, they was looking for Jesus. Mary and Joseph, amen, went to Jerusalem, amen, and they lost Jesus. Ooh, Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, don't lose Jesus. All right? But whenever you lose Jesus, it's easy to find Jesus. Anybody hear me up in here? Because Jesus is always, he told him. He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Jesus told him, he said, why y'all looking for me? And where y'all went looking? He said, wish ye not, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? Jesus, the old guy, he just a little boy, he told his mama off. And I don't suggest any of our young people do that unless it be for the glory of God. But the Bible says he was subject unto them. He did it in a very respectable way. He was holy, harmless, and undefiled. It wasn't no sin. It wasn't no disrespect. He was just checking them. He said, come on now. If you're looking for me, you got to know where I'm at. He said, don't you know that I'm going to be about, I must be. See, when you call, it's not a choice. When you call, it's not a choice, Pete. He said, I must be. If you call, you're not going to have a choice. But to be about what? The Father's business. You know where you could find me. You know what I'm saying? I tell people all the time, they're looking for me. You ain't looking for me. If you're looking for me, you know where you could find me. I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. Come see me. I'm here Sundays, 9 a.m. Tuesdays, 7 p.m. You see? Somebody say, I must be about my Father's business. You see? And it's not a week. It's not a day. It's not an hour desiring to work. See, because some of you desire to work when you're here. But you leave and go home and you don't desire to work no more. You ain't trying to get people saved on the job or trying to bring them to church or trying to get souls into heaven. You're not trying. You see, when you desire to work, it's a continuous thing. And it don't mean that you quoting the Bible all day, no. But in your mind, you always plotting ingenuitive ways to reel people in to church. And sometimes it might be saying nothing when they expect you to say something. You see? And other times it's just praying with them, amen. Other times it might be going straight and giving them the gospel of Yahshua. But it's the wise fishermen that know which bait is appropriate for which fish. Oh, y'all ain't with me. Y'all. You can't use saltwater bait for fresh fish. You see? When you call, the work will always be on your mind. It's a continuous thing. You see? Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. As I come to a close on this initial point, I think of my life after salvation. You know, in every season I was in, I was always teaching after salvation. Whether it was the family Bible study or the Bible study with my roommate, amen, when I was on UL campus, or whether it was preaching at the Baptist Student Union, you see? Oh, after law school, amen, coming down here and starting a little Bible study in my law office. Nobody had to ask me to do that. And I didn't need approval from anybody to do it either. I must be about my Father's business. Some people waiting to preach at church. They're waiting to preach in this pulpit. And a lot of times when you're waiting to preach here, you have what we call ulterior motives. The Father's business is not your preoccupation when you will only preach in one place. You want to preach to the thousand. You want to preach to those overseas. You want to stand in pastor position and labor in another man's vineyard. You want to build on another man's foundation. And that's the easy work. And it's not only the easy work, watch this, it's the selfish work. It's the proud work. Because you don't want to preach unless you have an audience of a certain size. You don't want to preach unless you get the flashy lights. Listen to me, man. When you call, it doesn't matter the venue. It doesn't matter the amount of people. You just want to be about your Father's business. It could be one woman at the well, and I'm about my Father's business. It could be 1,000, 10,000 at the Washington Memorial, but guess what? I'm going to be about my Father's business. The crowd don't mean nothing. The crowd don't mean nothing. In fact, the really called don't even see the crowd. I know y'all hear ya, because the sermon, I feel you, what you're feeling and what you're going through. But listen, listen, don't get it twisted. They got somebody else in here I'm preaching for. Ooh. You know, as a boy, you always wanted your daddy to be proud of you. You always wanted him at your game. You always wanted him to watch you. You see? In the spirit, those that's called do the same thing. But we don't do it for our earthly father. We do it for our heavenly father sitting in the back of the church watching. And our continual question when we call is, Father, are you pleased? Father, are you pleased? Oh, yeah. Not church people. Not ministers, not deacons, not, no, I don't care if y'all please or not. I never did. Never did. Never did. Never did. Never did. The prophets did never care. The prophets never cared. When you get a prophet that care, it's a false prophet. You hear me, T? It's a false prophet because they worried about it. They preaching to the likes of the people. Oh, man. Get out of here, boy. See, I'm going to get to this in the next point. Because y'all don't call the call. The Most High called the call. Now, so if you call, you're going to teach. Nobody going to be able to stop you from doing it. You're going to do it. And it don't matter where you're doing it at. And they got some people, amen, they come to me, they say, Pastor, can I teach this? Don't ask me, can you teach something? Don't ask me that. I'm going to give you the one reason you come to me and ask me. You ask me when you're teaching the sheep of this pasture, who I am accountable for. When you're laboring in my vineyard amongst the flock that I'm the under shepherd of, then you come to me. I'm having a Bible study, and it's going to be the people of Philly. All right? If it's like that, then yeah. Because I'm accountable for the doctrine and what's being taught, and I ain't going to let y'all pull people astray. But if you have an evangelistic work where you're reaching out for new people, you building a new foundation, which is a lot harder, and you got to be a soldier to do that. It's easy to come in where somebody else done did all the work yet. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. These Johnny come lately, that's easy. Go out there and start with nobody and get to this point, then come talk to me. Not too many people clap on this one, kid. Y'all heard that? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, B. Oh, yeah. It's easy to move the car when the car already moved. But it's when you get behind it when you know when a car stop and somebody jump out when the car already moving and they put one finger on it. Just, I did it. No. Come on, Miss Connie, Brother Joe, get behind me when there's nothing, when the car ain't moving. The call got to be preaching. They got to be doing the work. All right? And if you call, you're going to preach, you're going to teach. And you ain't got to ask my permission to start a new work, to preach and teach to your friends and your family and your neighborhood and kids that's all around your house. Amen. You ain't got to ask me for that. No, get to work. Get to work. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. You see, it's only the haters that's going to try to stop you from working. The haters going to come in and, what you doing? See, in Luke 9:49, that's what happened during Jesus' ministry. They had a man in the Bible called the unnamed exorcist, and he was out there doing the work of Christ, but he wasn't a part of the 12. And John came to Jesus. John asked Jesus, he said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him. We stopped him because he followed not with us, because he wasn't with us. He didn't have our permission. He didn't have our blessing. Wait up now, man. If the gospel be preached and people getting saved, what in the world are we going to be mad at? That's some pride stuff, man. All right. Move on to the next one. In 50. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not. For he that is not against us is for us. In the prophetic, there's a lot of you out here who should be teaching by now, who should be sharing the gospel in a formal setting to your friends and family, inviting them over with little appetizers. In the spirit, I see them little sandwich, them the little devil egg sandwiches, or some little meatballs. Can y'all see it? I'm either hungry, but I'm seeing appetizers. And I see y'all bringing them in, and you just opening your Bible. Oh, I got to speak to doubt right here. You don't have to be me to do that. You don't have to know the scriptures like me to do that. We got a nation to awaken. And it's going to happen one house at a time, one person at a time. Some of them won't come to this house until you invite them to your house. Why you think he gave you the big and beautiful place to stay? Why you think you have it? Why you think you have it, man? Begin to reach him, man. In the spirit, when some of y'all begin to operate in this, your life is going to shift. Because right now, you're out of place and you're out of position. And when you're out of place and out of position, you don't receive the blessings that God has for you because you're out of place. You in the wilderness when he done prepared a trail for you. In the spirit, your GPS in heaven is saying rerouting, 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 because you need to get back on track. Oh, God have mercy. Rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. Get to work, man. Pastor, I don't know if they're going to come. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Woo! Pastor, it might not be too many, and where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Pastor, only one of them going to get saved. There is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that comes to repentance. You don't need no approval from me, man. Only if you're plowing in the field of Philadelphia. You see? Which I don't suggest that you do anyway. You see? Go get the ones that's not being taught. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Oh, God, Joe. Babe, I got a problem up here, baby. I got 5 minutes? Okay, come on. All right, come on. Let's move to the next point. Then we're going to have a vote up in here. When we get to 11, we're going to have a vote. Somebody say chosen. I know I'm called, amen, because I have a burning desire to do the work. I also know I'm called because I'm chosen. In Acts 13 and 2, he tells the church, he says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. See, we need to understand that God chooses the preacher, the pastor, the minister, the prophet, the prophetess, the teacher. It's not the leaders of the church that choose them. No. The church merely recognizes the call, but the call comes from heaven. Are you with me here so far? It's like you in the house and the phone is ringing and you tell somebody, telephone, you never called them. You just hear, perceive, experience, and recognize that a call is being made. This is the church's responsibility. I cannot call you, but I can recognize when your phone is ringing. Woo! Anybody hear me up in here? You see, when you're chosen by God, watch this, the work is easy. Somebody say chosen. The work is easy. Now, some of y'all never started the work, so you don't know how easy it is or not. But when you call and you begin to do the work is easy. Whatever you're born for, come easy to you. Oh, God, have mercy. You ever met somebody that can sing? Amen. You're like, how you do it? I was born doing this. Somebody that can play basketball, I'm called, I'm born. Listen, people that run, throw, you know what I'm saying? Jump, preach, teach, all of that. I was born to do this. It come easy. Pastor, how you know? Well, anytime you follow in Jesus and in his plan for your life, he tells us in Matthew 11, amen. He says, hallelujah, when he's talking about, take my yoke upon you. Come on, sound booth, help me. Don't waste none of my seconds. It's precious. He said, take my yoke upon you. Follow me. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, anytime you're following Jesus for his plan for your life, it's never going to be burdensome. It's never going to be heavy. It's always going to be yoke easy, burden light. Whenever you call to do something, amen, to everybody else, it's going to look like a heavy thing for you to pick up. But once you put your hand on it, hey, God, oh, God, there's a different strength that's lifting that thing up. It's not you, but it's God in you. In the spirit, it'd be like me putting my hand on this thing, and it's just going up easy. When you call to something, when you chosen to something, the work is easy. Are you with me? Now, the converse is true. Watch this. When you're not called to something, the work is hard. You struggle. You strain. You dread doing it because you're not called to it. And if you're in a ministry, amen, and it's like that, amen, I'm telling you right now that you might not be called. Things are only heavy when you're using your own strength. When you're using your own power, when you're using your own intellect, when you're using human energy, when you're using, amen, human organization, human oratory and rhetoric, amen, that's when things are heavy and burdensome. But when you call, amen, Zechariah 4:6 is your mantra, is your scripture. The end of it when it says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Come on, give God some glory. When you call, it's not hard. In Psalm 127:1, when you call, this comes. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep a city, the watchman waketh but in vain. You could try to build a Bible study, a ministry, amen, a church, amen. But if the Lord ain't built the house, hey, God, you watching in vain. You waking in vain. You straining in vain. When you call, it come easy is what I'm saying. And when you're not, it doesn't. You see? You're out of place. Listen to me good. Amen. Paul and Barnabas was called to this work. And when they went out there, amen, they went through struggle, Miss Leola, Brother Sam. They went through persecution. But when you call, none of that matter. Because those he called, he equipped. When you call, you have everything you need for every trial that you're going to face. Because you call. And God knows exactly what you're going to run into. Because he's spoken the end from the beginning. So he understands every single hurdle you're going to come up to. So he equips you for every obstacle. And when you get to that obstacle, all you got to do is look at the backpack that daddy put on you. And you're going to have wings when you need it, legs when you need it, speaking when you need it, singing when you need it, preaching when you need it. Hey, when you call, you're equipped. You're equipped. Paul and Barnabas was equipped. John Mark wasn't. John Mark wasn't. Not our John Mark. John Mark, that John Mark is great. I'm talking about John Mark in the Bible, Brandon. John Mark in the Bible. When you're chosen, you're equipped. John Mark wasn't equipped because he wasn't called. So when he got into the ministry, going with Paul and Barnabas, he didn't make it. He had to go back home because he wasn't called. You see, the call got to be careful. When you call, you think everybody around you call. And we could make mistakes, the called. We begin to promote people around us that's not called like we call. And I done made that mistake. Listen to me. I'm telling you something I know. We call like Barnabas, and he like, oh, yeah, we gone. But the Bible, God, the Holy Spirit say, separate who? Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them. Well, where'd John Mark come from? Where'd John Mark come from? So they put John Mark into the prophecy, into the vision, into the word of God, but there was no call in there. And he failed miserably. So if you called, be careful not to put your calling on other people. Come on, give God some glory. You might not even be ready for that, but that's a word that I need to hear in the moment where I am in right now. Because I've made some mistakes. Now listen to me good. Listen to me good. Listen to me good. You see? It don't mean that John Mark will not be eventually called. Because he will be eventually called. But the problem was Barnabas put his calling, his personal calling, on John Mark, which was to call John Mark too early. It wasn't that Barnabas was wrong in seeing the calling. No, he saw it. He even saw it before John Mark saw it. He even saw it before it happened. It wasn't that John Mark didn't have a calling. It was that he called him too soon. And I have been guilty of that myself. And John Mark had to go back home. Because he wasn't ready for the pressure. He wasn't equipped for the journey. Because he wasn't called yet. So he failed. Because of a lack of equipment. But only for a season. Hey, the wisdom and the knowledge and the counsel of our Almighty God, if we'll just wait on him. Because John Mark gonna fail in the start, but he gonna finish well in the end. Come on, give Yah some glory in this house. Man, Paul had the wisdom to see it and recognize it, put him on the shelf when he needed to be put on the shelf. But in the end, send for John Mark. I have need of him. Oh, God. God have mercy. God have mercy. Y'all, I got to wrap it up. One last thing about the being chosen. Tell your neighbor he wrapping it up. I'm a teacher, y'all. I get long-winded sometimes, and y'all know First Lady used to fall asleep on the phone with me sometimes. He'd be on the phone, boy, when my law didn't know. Nah, I'm just joking, my law. But listen. I think she still falls asleep every now and then. I got to see you good, you. Hey, pretty. Because your ball go hard, father. Your ball go hard. Listen. All right. Last thing. Spurgeon says, another way you can tell when you call, when you operate in your gift, soul's going to be converted and saved. Not only is it light, but it's successful. You see? When you start preaching and teaching, something is going to happen where souls will be made the better by your work. You see? How can you tell when somebody's called a blessing going to be on their ministry? The same thing that we do in every other thing, Brian. How can we tell when somebody is a singer? They can sing. How can we tell somebody is a dancer? They could dance. How can we tell somebody is a cook? They can cook. Well, how do we tell somebody is called to be a pastor? A shepherd? You know? They're going to pastor and shepherd people closer to God. Are you with me here so far? People gonna get closer to God. They from the point where they meet you. When they meet you, when y'all lives intersect, when you call, that intersection will bring about a move. Them meeting you will move them. And sometimes it will move them from godlessness to godliness, from being lost to being saved, from not knowing their Bible to knowing their Bible, from not knowing how to pray to knowing how to pray, from never fasting to fasting, from being a bad husband to a better husband, a bad child to a better child, a bad worker to a better worker, from being, are you with me here so far? You see, when you're called, there's going to be a movement. That's how you know when you're in the presence of the call. There's a movement. And it's a movement that sometimes is so imperceivable that you could not know it's there. So you got to look back. You got to look back from where you came from. You got to look back from where you was. You got to look back. You got to constantly examine yourself as a person in the congregation and say, am I being moved? Am I being moved? See, you got a lot of people in churches that's not being moved. In fact, you, like me, I done been in a church where I come there one way and I done been moved back. It got worse. Oh, God. Feel my time. Feel my time. You're giving me too much time, Phil. I'm joking, y'all. I'm just trying to do like Adam and pass the blame. But listen. Last scripture, Phil. Jeremiah 23:21. Please give it to me in the NLT. This is how you know you're called. Oh, my seconds, y'all, my seconds. He says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they run, claiming to speak for me. I have given them no message. Yet they go on prophesying. That's the not called, Keith. The next one. If they had stood before me and listen to me? Because the call, listen to him. We don't come with our own message. T, we come with his message. If they listened to me, they would have spoken what? My words. But watch the effect. And they would have turned my people from their evil ways and deeds. If you are called, your gift will better the people of God. If you are in the presence of the called, your life will be made better. Not perfect, because none of us perfect, but you're going to feel a progression of you always trying to get right with God. You see? You see? So we have gone too long yet again. Y'all pray for me as I pray for y'all. You know what I'm saying? But I'm hoping that, hallelujah, we would be able to see if we are called and who is called in our presence. Amen. Boy, my leg hurt from football. Yeah, well, Tyrone, my calf, Tyrone. Lord have mercy. Them little boy too fast out that day. Way too fast. Where Jerry in it? You see what I'm saying? So listen, we've already done the altar call. Ushers, y'all come on and let's do this Lord's Supper. Amen. The ushers gonna be at the altar. Amen. With the Lord's Supper. When they get set, you already got saved early this service. You already got forgiven early this service. You already got delivered early this service. The ushers going to have the communion where at the front they'll have it in certain strategic places and stations in the back. Amen. All we ask that at this moment you just be communing with God and thinking about what he did for us at that cross. Amen. And this Last Supper is just to remember his work and never forget what he's done for us. Amen. The work he was assigned to do, he completed, y'all. I pray that you complete yours. I pray that you complete yours. But Pastor, I'm a man of, I'm slow of speech. Yeah, there's a man named Moses said the same thing. But God still chose him to lead God's people. Ushers, come on up. Ushers, come on up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think they stationed in the back as well. Amen. Let me look good with my good eye. Amen. There they go. I see them back there. Y'all get in position. Y'all get in position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The burdens of my heart, they rolled away. My God, it was there. It was there by faith. That I received something. I received my sight at that old rugged cross. And now, hey, now I'm happy all the day. Father, bless us now as we have this Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name. Philly, come on, get it. Come on, get it, Philly. Come on, let's get it. Let's get it. Oh, you have one for me already? My bad. I'm gonna take two. I'm gonna take two.
Happy birthday to you too, Father John. Thank you, Lord.
You make it 26. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It was there by faith we received. I received my son. Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm so happy. So happy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Look at the people of God.
At the cross.
My God.
I first.
Thank you.
And the burdens of my heart.
Come on.
Rolled away.
My God, my God, my God. It was there.
It was there.
Hallelujah. Take the bread out, amen, and we're going to bless it and give thanks. Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, for your body, which was broken for us. As we partake in this Last Supper, we pray you use it to strengthen our faith and plant us in the gospel of Yahshua Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says on the same night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, gave thanks to heaven, broke it, gave it to his disciples. He said, take this, eat all of it, for this is my body, which was broken for you. Let us eat together. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, in the same manner, he took the cup after supper. He gave thanks. He told his disciples, he says, this is the new covenant in my blood. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. He said, drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. Let us drink together. Feel like doing something for you, old Pappy? Thank you, Lord. We're going to sing that doxology, y'all, and we're going to get out of here. Woo! My God. My God. How'd that thing start off, G? Lord bless you, may he keep you, may he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance and bless you with shalom, peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Wish shalom to one another. Love y'all. Be blessed.